I hope that if you hear nothing else that I share tonight, I hope you hear that Jesus notices you and the specifics of your life, and Jesus loves you more deeply than you could even imagine. Now, for the rest of the sermon, I was thinking about you all, trying to remember college. And for me, I can remember it pretty clearly because it wasn't too long ago. Are any of you from the Chicagoland area? Okay. I went to a little school around there called Wheaton. This is a picture of me on my very first day of college. Aww. Aww. Yeah, she's 17, weighed down by some textbooks, also weighed down by insecurity, homesickness, fear of failure. I wasn't even sure if I was an extrovert or an introvert yet, so I'd go to all the social gatherings and then be totally exhausted. And I wanted to be a good college student, and I wanted to do it well. I'll tell you the rest of this story about my college journey in a couple minutes, but first we're gonna listen to a story about God. This is from near the beginning of the Bible. So creation happens, and time goes on, and then there's the story about Joseph and his brothers and the coat and all of that. And then a bunch of years pass, and this is what happens next. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery. And out of their slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock out beyond the wilderness to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord spoke to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, but it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not being burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside, he said, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "Here I am." And the Lord said, "Come no closer and remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are staying is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their oppressors. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. To the country of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has come to me, and indeed I have seen their oppression. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt, that I should go to Pharaoh?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that it was I who sent you. When you've brought them out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I go to the Israelites and they ask me, 'Who is it that sent you?' what should I tell them?" they asked me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And further, you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever and ever through all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, really fancy and smart people could take this passage in so many directions. This is where I want to go together tonight and keep it really simple. Is that my earring? I'm so sorry. Did I fix it? Some things about being a woman preacher is just tough. Should I just take out my earring? Would that be easier? No, because it's not my earring. No. It's the mic. Sorry. What's your name?
Mary.
Can everyone clap for Mary? I can also use a handheld if that's easier.
Yeah.
We're cruising with that. Can I give you this?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Another round of applause for Mary.
Just give me this later.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it. So the same God who speaks to Moses speaks to us now. And that's the God who notices you, who pays attention to you. Look back at the language that was used to describe God. Their cry for help rose to God. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant. God looked upon the Israelites and took notice of them. God notices you. Not just a simple, like, oh yeah, there he is down there in Michigan struggling through college. Not that kind of noticing. The kind of noticing of a God who made you and numbers every hair on your head. The kind of noticing of a God who knows every tear that you cry and knows why you cried them. God notices you. And you might be saying, well, not me, not my story, not after what I did last night. God notices them. God notices my roommate, but God doesn't notice me. But what I want you to hear is that there's actually nothing you can do to prevent or avoid the loving attention and gaze of God, a God who calls you by name, like Moses. Moses, Moses, insert your name here. It's the God who says in Isaiah, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you. The God who says in the Psalms, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The God who says in Zechariah, I will rejoice over you with singing. This God notices you, takes notice of you, knows your sorrow, remembers you, and remembers his promises to you. This is my first time preaching in a room full of college students, so I might be stating the obvious here, but college is hard. Can I get an amen? Okay. College is hard. You can put up that picture of me in my freshman year again. In college, oh yeah, that's one in the dorm. You can go to that one. Little coffee situation. So much hope and youth. You can go back to the first one. I remember my freshman year of college longing to be noticed. To be noticed by a friend, to be noticed by a guy, to be noticed by God, to be noticed by my professors. And I'm not trying to flex here, but in high school, I was kind of like the model high-achieving student. Like National Merit Scholar, drum major of the marching band, concertmaster of the orchestra, all those things. And then I went to college, and My identity that I'd found in all those things was stripped away a little bit. And I felt really alone because I don't know if you've experienced this, but like when you get your schedule for a new semester, no one else knows your schedule or has the same schedule as you. So you're navigating your little day and it's you, yourself, and your schedule from one thing to the next. And it can feel really lonely. And that loneliness, along with shifting from my stable family system environment, became really overwhelming for me in college. And I remember asking, does anyone notice me or know my life or know what's going on? And while a lot of those things are normal for adjusting to college and can wear off in the first couple months, for me, it settled into a pretty regular pattern of melancholy. And day by day, semester by semester, my experience in college became a really challenging journey with mental health, therapists, psychiatrists, meds, the whole thing. And it felt hidden, and I felt small, because I could mostly still show up to class and get good grades and make it through, but the identity that I had in achievement and leadership and being admired was completely stripped away. And I felt like no one noticed me. And during those years, I actually entered into the most intimate dialogue with God that I had ever experienced. I mean, like journal pages filled daily, and then like stacks of the journals piling up of heart cries to God. Sometimes prayers of lament, sometimes prayers as simple as, God, help. Sometimes I told God about my crushes and pleaded that they would ask me on a date. And sometimes it was all sort of a daily groaning, just like the Israelites. And God showed me again and again and again that he noticed me. He heard me. He looked upon me. He remembered me. And in the quietness of my heart, again and again, God's gentle Holy Spirit met me. My job in college is that I was a teaching assistant for a professor of theology named Keith Johnson, and he's a Karl Barth scholar. And besides being a total nerd and really brilliant, he's also very observant. And so in some of my hardest days there, when I would go into work, he would notice how I was doing. And so one time I went in to do my TA duties. Sometimes I would, like, I sorted all his books and I would grade quizzes and I would transcribe, like, letters from old theologians to one another that he could use in his next book that he was publishing. So I went in to look for my list of tasks, and he was lecturing a couple classes nearby. And instead of my list of to-dos from him, there was a note, and it said, like, Dear Anna, and then there was $10, and it was like, take this to the coffee shop and then read John 15 through 17, as if Jesus is talking directly to you. And if you don't know John 15 through 17, it's called the farewell address. And Jesus is saying farewell to his disciples after he's died and rose again for them, and he's about to ascend into heaven. It's the part where he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in my love. The part where he says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. The part where he says, I'm also gonna pray for you. College is hard, and Jesus is faithful. God is so kind, and God has not forgotten you. If your story sounds similar to mine or way different, I want you to hear that God takes notice of you, promises to be with you, and in the deepest, most intimate way, knows your heart. And how can I say that with so much confidence? That the God who showed up to Moses in the wilderness shows up to you here at Hope College in Holland, Michigan. The same God who showed up to me at Wheaton in 2016. It's because the story didn't stop with Moses. Moses was a mark point along this whole trajectory of God's faithfulness that was headed toward Jesus. A person who says in his very body, I know your sufferings. Jesus, who becomes completely for us in every way. Jesus gave himself completely in death, taking all the pain that we carry, all the shame that we feel, all the insecurity and loneliness that follows us around from class to class. Jesus takes it all and he says, I have victory over that. I'm putting it to death. I'm rising again. And one day everything will be restored and we'll live together in worship when the brokenness of the world is finally put to death fully. Amen? Amen. So the day is coming when Christ will return and the land flowing with milk and honey that God promises won't be a distant dream to us. The good and broad land of hope that we're invited to. But for now, Jesus notices you here and now, and he invites you into conversation. When God calls out to Moses, 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 and he goes, who am I? But what if this? God invites his questions, and God responds gently, inviting more conversation. And so this is my invitation to you. Have a conversation with Jesus. Just start talking. Bring your doubts, your questions, your what ifs. Moses did, and Jesus welcomes you as your friend and your brother and your savior. So have a conversation. Jesus knows how to communicate with you. He invites your voice and he hears your heart, and there's no one better than Jesus. There's no one else who will satisfy and no one else who will completely tend to every part of your hurting heart. It's only him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.